First thing, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for this time to come up here and break open your word, Lord, and feast a little bit. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the gift of teaching, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with our pastor, Lord. Be with everybody that's here and everyone that's listening in these last days that we're living. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, for I ask in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, one of the scariest things in Sunday morning is waking up and pastor call you and ask you to teach. But I try to keep something going all the time. I'm always studying something. We're going to be looking at Nimrod. Nimrod is one of those characters in the Bible that once you study him and you learn a little bit about him and start reading about what they said about him back in ancient times, he's pretty interesting. The name of this lesson today is the first Antichrist, and that's who Nimrod was. And if you look at this chart, you'll see that Nimrod has wings. He has a deer in his arms. And he has a pine tree. We'll get into that tree here in a second. But Nimrod, this is an ancient picture of Nimrod. This is just a 10-minute drawing. I had to go quick. I got a better drawing up here. But this is the way they depict Nimrod. He has the ability of flight. He's also pictured with a lion. And he wore a cape of a lion around his neck. And he wore horns. And these were from conquests that he conquered a bull, some giant bull and some giant lion. He conquered them, killed them, and then he wore their skins and wore their horns. When you look at this stuff and you see all the symbology involved with Nimrod and the fact that he was the first leader of a one-world nation, you wonder, will the first one be an example of the last one that's coming? And I think it will. In ancient mythology, he was a giant. Now, he became a giant. The Bible says that he was a mighty hunter before God. And people say, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Go back to Genesis chapter 13. Hoping my glasses or these new contacts would work, but they're not working much better. That's the lighting, I guess. But in when it comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says that the cries of Sodom and Gomorrah went out before God. And that is telling you that you don't want to be before God, you want to be behind God. And like I said, when you come back, when Jesus Christ returns, you don't want to be in front of him, you want to be behind him. Nimrod was he's also associated with towers. Now, archaeologists have found that tower, and of course, you're not allowed to know about it, but they write about it, and they say that it took when they were surveying this monstrosity of a building, it took them 3 days to walk around it. And it took them 2 weeks, it said it would take you 2 weeks to get to the top of it, just by walking. So it was a humongous tower. But a lot of that stuff that they did back then was associated with technology. And what he was attempting to do, they say that it was associated with what we're trying to do today with CERNs. And that's creating wormholes and vortexes. One time I was at work, and I was talking about vortexes and wormholes and what they're working on. And a guy grabbed me and pulled me away. And he got in my face and he says, "You're not supposed to talk about this stuff." And I said, "What do you know about it?" He says, "You know we're not allowed to talk about that stuff." And I said, "Well, I was never in the military." He looked at me and goes, "How'd you know about that stuff?" I said, I research. But he just confirmed what I was talking about, vortexes and wormholes. And I've run into a lot of that over the years. Technology is a lot farther along than what you think it is. Just because you got a cell phone that does some magical things doesn't mean that's all they got. It's farther along than you think. The other day I listened to a general, and he was talking about aliens and about spacecraft and space travel. A few months ago, an Israeli general who was associated with their NASA projects talked about aliens, space travel, and all kinds of things. So there's a lot of stuff that we're not being told. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. We're seeing that materialize right in front of us. We're going back to the time of Cain, and we're going back to the time of Nimrod. During the time of Nimrod, both were made up of mixed races of people. Did you ever wonder why that in the last several years they've taken people from other countries and pushed them into Europe, pushed them into all kinds of countries that really were struggling to survive anyway, but they were pushing all these refugees into these places, including America. And they're still doing it. Both were built large monuments and structures. When you look at Nimrod, he demanded worship. And that's what they're telling you today. Do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he's just a fairy tale. Worship science. And like Fauci says, if you argue with me, you're arguing with science. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? But that's the kind of times we're living in. There are people out there that hate Christians. They might not be the minority, or they might be the minority, but when good people don't do anything, when good people don't stand up, the evil takes over. When you look at Nimrod, his name means panther or leopard. And he matches up with Genesis chapter 13. Nimrod in Hebrew, broken down in their language, his name equals 600, 666. He had a three-God trinity going on. He had his wife Semiramis, who we look at as Gaia, the earth goddess. You also have Aphrodite, Venus. All these different gods in the back go to Nimrod's wife. She claimed that she was, after Nimrod was killed, and it's legendary that Shem killed Nimrod. Now, that's what they say back in the old writings. Whether or not that happened, I don't know. But it makes sense. When you look at Nimrod, he's the 13th from Adam. And when you look at the 13th from Adam, the number 13, is, you know, some people try to make 13 something else, but 13 is sin or iniquity or whatever you want to call it, but it's evil. If you 13 is the first time sin is mentioned in the Bible. Revelation 13 is all about the Antichrist, and it just goes on and on and on and on. That's what's so interesting about the Bible when you start studying it. Look at the numbers. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, if Jesus by itself is found 777 times. Now, how would the people back in 1611 know to put Jesus down 777 times? It's impossible. And then you look at everything about the Lord Jesus Christ can be divided by seven. And there was writers back in the old, back in the 1910, there was a Russian who was a genius, and he came to Oxford University, and he went from Oxford to Harvard. And the more he studied, the more he realized that there was a God, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of his name, but he wrote a book on breaking down the Word of God by numbers. And when they got finished with reading that book, people today that read it say that it would take a computer 1 million years to write the Bible the way it's written. And he even had a formula to show that Scripture needed to be there because it was written in such a fashion that you couldn't alter it. And if it was altered, it didn't fit. Now, when you look at Nimrod, and you look at this tree, now that tree was for worship of is a sexual thing. They would have groves that were built to worship Nimrod. And also Nimrod, when you look in the Bible and you see the word Baal, this is who they're talking about. And he's the god that flies, or Beelzebub, the lord of flies, or could it be lord that flies? Everything about this guy says he flies. When the Antichrist comes, will it be from the air? I know he comes up out of the sea, but when he comes up out of the sea, will he be in a spaceship of some sort? And I believe he's going to land in Rome. They found Nimrod's tomb right before the war with Iraq. And we went there, and a general said that we went there to get technology that was associated with that tower. And when they got it, they left with it. And that technology helped them in some fashion. They didn't want anyone else to have it, so they got it from his tomb. There are pictures on the internet that claim to be his tomb. And his tomb is said to be about 13 to 15 foot tall. So I don't know. That's speculation. And there came one from seven angels which had the seven vials, talking with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. When you look at the New World Order, and people say, well, it's Rome. Rome's the one, you know, Rome, Rome, Rome. When you do some study in history, you find out that Rome, religious Rome, is greater and bigger than the Empire of Rome. Back in, right after the Civil War, we were in extreme debt. So we had to pay off that debt. So we went to England, and England went to Rome. And people were, they bailed us out. Rome bailed us out. And a lot of things that we do in this country are associated with Rome. When this country was first founded, it was founded on the saying that, you know, that Rome would never have a part of this country. We had 65 anti-Catholic days a year. They wouldn't allow Catholics to migrate to this country. Our presidents tried to keep them out, all the way up to Abraham Lincoln, but it failed. And of course, you know, our capital is in Maryland. That's where a large Catholic settlement was, and they branched out from there. This is not an anti-Catholic. I don't like the Pope. I don't like what he stands for. He's very anti-Christ. But Catholics that want to know the Lord need to get out of the Catholic Church. That's plain and simple. If the Lord saves you, he's probably yearning you to get out. Don't be part of it. Verse 2 of Revelation chapter 17, verse 2, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They have sold themselves out. They have prostituted themselves out. Look at our nation. Look what we've done. We've taken a Christian nation and we prostituted her out. We've fought other people's wars. We've fought for everyone's freedoms, but we're losing our own. This country was great when it was sending out missionaries, not when it's fighting other people's wars. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 23 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. We're looking at a time when the church sold itself out to a false doctrine. What the Catholic Church has done is they took the religion of Nimrod, the religion of Baal, and they've taken the gods of the Christians and replaced it with the names of the Baal, Babylon religion of Nimrod. You know, Christians wouldn't celebrate Christmas for ever until the Catholic Church commissioned Charles Dickens to write the Christmas Carol to vilify the Christians who didn't celebrate Christmas. When you go overseas, your elves, and you go online and look at this stuff, when you go over into Europe and you look at elves, they don't have elves. They have guys running around with masks, horns, dressed like demons, chasing little children around, terrorizing them. And that's what they call Christmas over there. We, here in the United States, took those demons and made them little elves and little friendly things that make toys. But it's the same thing. Now, when you look at December 25th, that's Tammuz's birthday. Who's Tammuz? He's the son of Nimrod, supposedly. He gets killed by Shem. He dies. His wife rises up and says, I'm with child. I think it was 3 years after his death. And he's a reincarnation of her husband. So when Tammuz gets big, he gets killed and gets cut up, you know, in a bunch of pieces and stuff, you know. But anyway, this guy here is someone to study because he's got a lot of things that associated with the coming Antichrist, and the religion is what God condemns all through the Bible. When you hear Baal, it's not a good thing. When you hear Nimrod, it's not a good thing. You know, in every spring up north, they'd say the Nimrods are going out into the woods. And you'd hear that on the radios, telling people, warning people about the Nimrods in the woods, you know, don't go out there and get shot. Because he's a hunter. Nimrod was a hunter of souls. He was a hunter of men. He was he's nobody you want to tangle with. Because if you ever see sculptures of him, he's about 10, 12 feet tall. He's got a lion holding it like a kitten. And he's humongous compared to everyone else around him. Could the first one, the last one, be like the first one? I think so. I think he's going to have all the qualities of Nimrod. And like I said, I know this lesson's not very put together very good because I didn't know what I was going to teach on. I just pulled something off my computer, and this is where God leads me. I like to go over my, it usually takes me a whole week to prepare for these lessons, but you know, you got less than a half hour to get ready and get to church and pull something off your computer. This is the best I can do. So I'm, you know. But I've been reading a lot about Nimrod this week, and I've studied this guy over and over again, and he's pretty fascinating. He's also associated with confusion, and that's what we're living in. We're living in an age of confusion. And I'm not telling you that, you know, don't celebrate Christmas or anything. I don't, you know, that's up to you. That's your own convictions. If you want to put a tree up, that's fine. Just read Jeremiah chapter 10 first. Learn not the way of the heathens. I'm not going to tell you that Christ was born on December 25th, because he wasn't. He was born in September. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. You know, I've seen all the calculations, all the studies, the months that John the Baptist's father served in, and he, you know, I've studied all that. But all you have to do is say he was 33 and a half years old when Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died on Calvary at Passover. That's March, April. Just count back 6 months, and it puts you at September. So I think he came back during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's pretty easy. Doesn't take a lot of figuring and a lot of studying to figure that one out. Verse 17:5 says, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth." She's Mystery Babylon. She's been around for a long time. She's been around ever since this guy showed up. And it's the oldest religion in the world. No matter where you go in the world, you're going to find this guy. They'll come up with different names. But the religion is basically the same. Seventeen six, "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." She's been after the saints for a long time. Now, you can go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it'll tell you everything you want to know about martyrism and how where our heritage comes from. It comes from burning at the stake, being tortured to death, filleted. Everything goes back to this religion. And it's not finished yet. When the tribulation starts, and it's going on now. I mean, all you have to do is look at type in martyrs or Christians being killed, and people are suffering all over the world, and they've been suffering all over the world for 2,000 years. But the church keeps on growing. When you look at this guy, he kind of makes you sick. Because he's against everything that you're for. Even John, when he was looking at this, he says, verse 7, it says, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I tell thee a mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. From generation to generation, we've had attempts for one world government, all the way down to where we're at now. A lot of them tried and failed. And like Ruckman says, right time, right thing, wrong time. What he was trying to do back in the beginning, after the flood, was the wrong time. Now we're coming 2,000 years after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and now we're coming to the right time. And that's why all this stuff is going on. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and goeth into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And this beast is going to be a beast. We're seeing that beast rising his head up now. In Europe, they're taking the jab people's accounts and separating from the unjabbed people's accounts. And you say, well, why are they doing that? So they can control the funds and control who buys or sells. All that stuff's happening right now. And it's just a matter of time before it comes here. And it's probably already happening. When you look at America, the only reason it's keeping things from getting as bad as it is in Europe and Australia and other parts of the world is because we are still armed. And that is a big deterrent. But when you're hungry, when your kids are hungry, people will start selling their guns left and right. Make sure you settle in your heart what you're going to do. Make sure that the Lord is the number one person that you go to before you do anything. God says He'll provide. A lot of people have lost their jobs, and it's up to the rest of us to help them when we can. And we're living in a great state of Tennessee, but you see faltering going on all the time and compromising. There's not a whole lot of places people can go to get away from all this stuff. When they put this thing in your hand, the reason, I mean, they're doing everything preparing for this thing to come. They're putting satellites in the air. They're putting everything in place for the man of sin to show up. They've destroyed our country by pharmaceuticals. When you look at what's going on in this country and how so many people are dependent on pharmaceuticals, they can't go without their pharmaceuticals very long. And that's another thing that you've got to look at. Can I survive? Can I function without my pharmaceuticals? When you look at the shelves in stores right now, all over the country, they're reporting shortages. When you go into a store, they don't have tons of groceries everywhere. They'll have cans pushed up to the front, and they'll have displays where food used to be. They're trying to keep people from not buying by panic. You know, like we did when the first thing happened last year and everyone had to go out and buy all the toilet paper. And me and my wife would find it and would buy it, and we'd give it to some of the older people that weren't able to get out to get it, because that's a real necessity. But what happens when the water goes off? What happens when the electricity goes off? What happens when you know, they put these smart meters in your on your electrical boxes. And so, boy, finally I'll get a right bill, you know. But all they have to do is, and your electricity's off. Your gas is off. Your water's off. We're living in trying times. We're living in controlling times. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ to fall back on, you're in a bad shape. You really are. I was talking to a guy at Lowe's yesterday. Talked to him about an hour. My wife kept going. But I just kept on talking. But we're living in trying times. We're living in, and most people know that we're living in trying times. When you go to, the president goes to the ball game and people all over the stadium boozing, who voted for him? When you look at all the deception going on today on the news media, what's the truth? When the flu and upper respiratory diseases disappear off the face of the earth because nothing's classified the flu anymore, what's going on? I'm amazed. I guess I'll use this time, you know, I'm not really prepared to teach, but I'll use it as a time to rant. But we're living in trying times. I mean, everybody can see it. If you can't, you're blind, or you're watching CNN news. Well, thank God they didn't convict that young man the other day. But they're just. But our society is being destroyed, manipulated, and pretty soon it's going to be taken over after so much chaos and the people start screaming out, we need something fixed. We want it now. This guy's going to show up. We'll be here for a little bit. I think we'll be here to see him. And then we're going to hear a cloud in the sky. We're going to see that cloud and come up hither like a trumpet, and we're going to be out of here. And I can't wait. I mean, that's the best thing that could happen to anybody right now. I mean, somebody said, well, don't you want to see your kids grow? Not in this world. Not in this world. I want my children, my grandchildren, to grow up instantaneous 33 years old without any problems this world has to offer. Because all you have to do is talk to a few parents in this place and you'll realize that we're living in trying times. When you get letters from church, and I think every person in this church should have to answer letters to the pastor, to see how some people out there are just desperate. Desperate. They're being attacked by demons. They're seeing demons running through the house. They're seeing demons tormenting their kids. Their animals in their houses are chasing these things around. And you say, that's not real. When I used to work, and thank God I don't work now, people would tell me all the time, there's something in my house. There's something in my house. What do I do to get out of my house? A guy said, I was eating my lunch one day, and a guy comes down and sits right in front of me. And before he spoke something out, I said, you got something in your house. He said, how'd you know? I said, because that's the only time people want to talk to me. That's true. Because most people don't want to talk to me. But when they would explain to me what was going on, I said, the first thing, I said, you need to get saved. Because you have no power over these things unless you're a born-again Christian. Second, if you are saved, you need to get right with the Lord and confess that sin, get it out of your life, start reading your Bible, start praying, and then go to the Lord and rebuke the demons in the name of the Lord. You think, well, that only happens to unsaved people. No, it doesn't. You can talk to a lot of preachers in here and a lot of people that studied the Bible for years. They still have problems every once in a while. And I think God just allows it to happen so you can rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord, not your name. Don't try to do it in your own power because you won't be successful. You do it in the name of the Lord. Even Michael, when he contended over the body of Moses, had to rebuke the... He didn't give railing accusations. I'm going to defeat you, Satan, you know, and pull a sword out and try to fight him. He said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. And that was it. And that's what we have to learn. Don't try to fight it on your own power. And it's the closer we get to the end, the more it's going to happen. It really is. I mean, you could... I answered a letter the other day. This woman was being tormented. And I'm told her the same thing I'm telling you. First, make sure you're born again Christian. Don't try to go to the Lord on your own power. Don't try to make a deal with the Lord. Don't try to rationalize your sin to the Lord. You go to Him humbly with a contrite spirit and you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I have no hope. And my hope lies in what You did for me on the cross, in Your precious blood that was shed. That's what gives you victory. And I guess that's what I should have been teaching on all along, because we're in a... You can talk to some of the secretaries. The letters we get from people who are being tormented by demons is unbelievable. And then people share my email address with someone who's having problems and they email me. And then I'm constantly answering letters. And I'm a better writer than I am a spokesperson, as you can see. But I try to be thorough in all this. Ephesians chapter 6 is not just a chapter. It's a command. And it's what you need to do to be a warrior. Because we're all in a war right now. Every last one of us. And if you don't believe it, just put your sword down for a little bit and see what happens. You got to keep your sword up. You got to keep your shield up. You got to keep your helmet on. You got to keep your breastplate. You got to keep your loins girded all the time, because Satan will annihilate you without those weapons. But the most important thing is prayer. You got to pray. That's your supply line. Every army needs a supply line. Without a supply line, the army won't last very long. It'll starve to death. You got to be constantly giving your supplications and your needs to the Lord and let Him provide them. Keep that supply line going. Let's pray, because my wife told me not to go over this time. That's no problem here. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this message did some good somewhere. Lord, I know I wasn't very prepared, but I pray that something came out that was needful. Lord, we're living in trying times, and I know that You're about to return, Lord. We can see the time approaching. We see the need for warriors. The battle's raging, Lord. Help us to put our armor on. Help us to pray. I pray for our pastor, Lord. I pray that you'll give him the power on high, Lord. I pray that you'll help him. Lord, it's all up to you, Lord. It's not up to us. It's your word. I pray that it'll be successful, Lord, and I know it will. For I ask in Jesus Christ, amen.